So a couple weeks ago, I wanted to share something. Sherry's not here. But she told me last week we've been praying for her brother. It's either brother or brother-in-law who has had to have some chemo, and he's having it every day, injections. Okay, if you've ever experienced chemo or know somebody, even the once a month, once a week stuff can mess you up. He has yet to have the first adverse effect from the chemo at all in his body. So, and that's what we prayed. And so just understand how God's bringing the healing forth, that's in God's wheelhouse, not mine. But we prayed and asked for no ill effects from this, and he is not suffering from it. So, okay. So a couple weeks ago, I was listening to a preacher that I listen to from time to time, and a little short clip came up. I watch him on Facebook. If you ever wondered, can Facebook be redeemed? Yeah. It can be. It's no different than your $20 bill. What are you putting in it? What are you using it for? But anyhow, and he said something. He started talking about leaves. And I was like, huh. And I hit pause because I had just got a vision, what we call it a revelation. And it was just God started flooding me with all this stuff. And I was like, okay, God, you know my mind can only handle so much. So he's been giving me some time. And even when I get to stirring in it, it's like, okay, that's a lot. That's a lot. But so today I'm going to start that message. And the message is going to be entitled Taste and See. Every time I say that title, there's a song by Petra from way back in the day called Taste and See That the Lord is Good. He's got milk and honey for you. But we will hit that scripture later on down the line here. But anyhow, I wanted to look at some things today. We're going to kind of be setting forth the groundwork. What is our purpose? Glorify God. That's what some would say. Our purpose is to glorify God. Make disciples. They're both true. However, that is not the first command we were ever given. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fruitful. We are required to produce fruit. Not too long ago, I talked about judging a tree by its fruit, right? Most of you remember that. If not, it's online. Where to judge a tree by its fruit? Where to look at one another even? But don't get into the critical judgment. Just say, okay, I look at prophets, because Jesus in particular mentioned false prophets. Let me see the fruit in your life. Oh, wait a minute, you have no fruit. You are a fruit. That's the problem with so many prophets today. And I'm going to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. If you fully understand how God works sometimes you got to be a little off kilter. If we look back at the prophets, in reality, they weren't exactly the high priest that we would imagine. They were rejected. They were scorned. Elijah lived out in the wilderness. John the Baptist lived out in the wilderness. They weren't accepted as normal people. But only those who saw the fruit of their life. So, God's first commandment was to produce fruit. In this particular instance, he was telling us to produce children. Other people. In a similar fashion, Jesus, before leaving, told his disciples, go and make what? Disciples. In other words, be fruitful and multiply. Once again, But now he's more on a spiritual status. But once again, mankind was commanded to be fruitful. There's no argument that can rightly disprove just what was meant in both cases. However, if we remember we are spiritual beings and that there are these things we call fruits of the Spirit, then aside from the obvious physical reproduction, we must also produce these physical fruits, or these spiritual fruits. It's the purpose of the Holy Spirit for us to produce fruits. John 15:1, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." True means in accordance with fact or reality. It is a fact, Jack, that he is the only vine. The reality is he is the only vine that you're going to find life in. Is he the only vine? Probably not. That's why he said, "I'm the true. I'm the real deal." Why? Because we read about angels of light, false prophets. We know they exist. We know people are going out and they're gathering disciples unto themselves. You're not my disciples. If you're not disciples of Jesus Christ, you done messed up. And I messed up. Verse 15:2. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." Uh-oh, it's getting serious now. Every branch that's not producing fruit. We look at a plant and we say, "Oh, look at all the branches it's got. Look at how big it is. Where's the fruit?" "Oh, but look at how big it is. Look at how big my church is." "Where's the fruit?" "Oh, but we got these programs. That's great." "Where's their fruit? Where's the love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, meekness, all this stuff that we're supposed to have? Where's it at?" "Oh, brother, they don't." "No, they are absolutely required." Why? Because Jesus himself said, "Every branch that does not bear fruit, he cuts away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes." Guess what? If you're bearing fruit, you're going to get cut still. But it's for healthy reasons. He prunes it that it may bear more fruit. If you ever go down here past Osborne's Orchard on 42, they have over 800 trees on that property. That's a lot of pruning. And unlike some people think, you don't just go out and start cutting branches off the tree. You can kill your tree. You can kill your harvest. They've got to know which branches to cut, which ones are safe, which ones are benefiting, and which ones are sucking the life out of the tree. That's what God does. Oh, but he gives us plenty of time to repent of our evil works. We refuse to, and God cuts them. "Well, I just don't know. I think you should have went after them, Pastor." I'm preaching. I'm telling you the truth. And if you're sitting here hearing and refusing to believe what the Word of God says, it's not on me. Because people left Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of Man. They left his services and didn't believe. "Well, I think Jesus should have went." Oh, you are so going to face the music. I don't want to be in your shoes, because you ain't going to be standing in awe. You're going to be standing in uh-oh. If you're not producing, the vine dresser will cut you from the vine. And if you are producing, you're still getting cut. He is the vine, we are the branches. We get our life from him, not from ourselves. We draw sustenance from him. Life. Genesis 3:6. Again, remember, I'm starting to just lay down a bed. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," what did Jesus tell us to do? Judge a tree by its fruit. She looked at the fruit. it looked good. It's the difference between the apple tree that's on my property. I've got a golden delicious apple tree that I found on the hillside. Didn't even know it was there until I dropped another tree on half of it. Oh, there's an apple tree there. Never saw it. It had these little teeny knobby apples on it because it can't get enough sun. But you go over to Osborne's Orchard right around the corner from me, and they've got apples the size of baseballs, if not bigger. Because their trees are pruned. Their trees get plenty of sunlight. They get plenty of nourishment. They know how to care for their trees. I don't, obviously. She judged that tree by its fruit, saw that it was good and pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wise. She saw all of this just by looking at the fruit. Matthew 7:18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. You know what? Something I learned this week, I'm not going to get into the whole science of it because I'm still trying to understand some of it. There are like seeds, peaches, cherries, avocados, anything that has what they call a stone for a seed. You know, the ones you bite into and break your tooth. Those are absolute reproductions of what they came from. But an apple is not. You can have a golden delicious apple, and you may not end up with a golden delicious tree. Because it's all on how it's pollinated. Was it pollinated exactly the same? I did not know that. And it may not be good fruit. If it does reproduce the same, it may not reproduce the same quality. You may have good. I've talked about the transparent apples before. I remember as a child, I can tell you right where the farm is that had them. We lived in Cleveland, came down to see my grandparents, and there was a farm next door, and they had these transparent apples. I was like 3, and I remember how good they were. So every time I've seen a transparent tree, I'm like, oh, they're so good. There was one over here in town. The guy said, you can have all the apples you want. They're terrible. What are you, nuts? I picked up a great big bag full of them, and I went back home. This isn't what I remembered. Bob and Karen had one. They put out a lot of apples. You had to add a lot of salt, sugar, and cinnamon, and whatever else to get any flavor out of them. But the reality is, just because it's producing something doesn't mean that it's good. The apple tree that I just had to cut down 2 years ago was an empire apple. Oh, it was huge. I'm guessing the thing was probably 50 years old. Big old tree. 3 big main branches. And then I noticed one of them was dying. It's like, oh no, that's not good. But see, here's a problem with it. In the meantime, in those 50 years, when that tree was planted where it was at, 50 years ago, the trees that are on the hill did not exist. I've got pictures. They weren't there because this was a pasture field. And they had the fence all the way down to the road for the sheep. And those trees are now, some of them were 70 feet tall. They took the sunlight away from it. And it couldn't grow. If I'd find an apple that big, I was thrilled. But I had to find one part that was not deformed or have a scar or something else in it. So when I'd bite into it, oh, it was just so crisp, good, juicy. But you see, the vine dresser wasn't so good. If I'd really wanted that tree to survive, I should have cut down all the other trees. Well, I cut down the apple tree because I'd waited too long. The center of it was gone. It was rotted. So now I have wood to smoke my pork. God isn't like me. He knows when to trim. He knows what to keep away from you. Anybody that would have seen those trees grow and knew that they were eventually going to drown out that apple tree. That's why there's no trees right up against the apple orchard, except way, way, way in the back. Most of them are all out front, and they get plenty of sunshine all the time. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I want you to remember, we're talking about a tree right here, right now, because there's a slight difference of what Jesus said he was. You remember what Jesus just said he was in 15, John 15? I am the vine. Now he's talking about trees. We can go back into the Old Testament. Oh, it says right here, like a tree planted by the water. I'm going to show you a little something. Let me keep moving. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. The vine. Jesus told us he is the vine and his Father is the dresser. This is notable because in Isaiah 61:3, God told Israel he would make them trees of righteousness. This is not a prophecy to us. This was a prophecy to Israel. I would make them trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Oh, but brother, I get so much comfort. I didn't say you couldn't get comfort. I didn't say it couldn't encourage you. I'm just saying he wasn't referring to you. Because Jesus didn't say he's a tree. He said, I'm a vine. Vines go crazy when they grow, don't they? When we bought our place, we couldn't tell you what was on the north side of the barn. It was covered in, I forgot the stupid name, bittersweet. This thing, there was doors we found that we didn't know were there. They were covered. The west side of my barn, there's spots up top where the vine would actually sway in the wind, and it's rubbed the paint off of the barn. We had poison ivy all the way up the driveway, and I still have a couple things of bittersweet. One I keep growing, and the other one I keep cutting back. I don't want it because it's invasive. It will take over. It's kind of pretty, but then it becomes a nuisance. But vines can keep growing. That's why Jesus said, I'm the vine. I keep growing, and all I need are branches. Let me show you something. Whoops. Oh, yeah, there we are. Then he said, this is John the Baptist. He's out preaching. All of a sudden, a bunch of Jews show up. They start making trouble for him. And we're not talking about just your regular Joe Schmo. We're talking about the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious people. And he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Stop and think about this for a minute. Who warned you? He called them brood of vipers. That's the same as calling them sons of Satan. He wasn't making friends. He definitely had not read Dale Carnegie's book on how to win friends and influence people. Because this made people mad. Verse 8, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. In other words, don't go throwing this back to Abraham just because you're Abraham's descendant. That doesn't buy it. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. What trees? The trees that were planted in Isaiah 61:3. The trees that were supposed to be righteous. The trees that were supposed to bring life. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Israel was supposed to be righteous, but they had become self-centered. Lovers of self, envious, murderous. Oh, they weren't murderers. How did they commit murder? First off, they killed Jesus. So that's murder. What about the woman that was drug out, probably stone naked, in front of God and everyone to be stoned, but yet didn't drag the man? That was the law. Don't tell me they didn't pervert the law. John didn't call them a brood of vipers for no reason. They weren't cute or cuddly. These creatures were deadly and venomous. Their bite could be fatal or cause severe illness, deterring anyone from approaching them. I always say, if a dog bites you once, okay. If it bites you twice, you trusted the wrong dog. I've been bit several times, and it's not fun. It hurts. They've never broke the skin, but they don't have to for it to hurt. But I will tell you one thing I never did. I never trusted that dog again. Because most of them waited until I turned my back. And I had to tell one homeowner, your dog has bit me. She laughed, thought it was funny. I said, I'm just going to tell you right now, if that dog is here and it bites me again, I have my East Wing hammer in my hand. It bites me, you're going to need to dig a hole in your backyard. That dog was never left out with me again. Well, that sounds mean. Come here, let me bite you. And I don't have pointy teeth, but right here. There was no reason for the dog to bite me. I petted it. I was nice to it. It was just untrustworthy. I got bit by a koi dog one time. Definitely don't ever trust them. That's a coyote and dog. Contrary to their intended purpose of bearing fruit, they seemed more like a threat. Israel was supposed to be bearing fruits of righteousness, but they weren't. This biblical passage in Psalm 1, 1 through 3, did I put that on the thing, Jason? Okay. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel, or blessed is the man who walks not, that word not is a big word, in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. We can hold that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water that brings forth its fruit in season. What's a tree supposed to do? Bring fruit. But again, it's a tree. The Bible doesn't call us trees. They called Israel trees. Every person that I've ever heard that talks about prophecy, so when you look in the Bible and it's talking about a fig tree, it's in reference to Israel. Israel is represented by the fig tree in the Bible. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. God is telling Israel through David, that if you do not listen to the ungodly, if you walk in my ways, if you find your joy in my word, we're looking for joy in things today. We're looking for fulfillment in everything else but what we're supposed to be. We think, there's people that I know that they think if they aren't preaching 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, they failed God. I heard somebody talk, I think it was a preacher. It was a young preacher, and he's telling people, man, I've just been so busy. I preach every day. I preach every week. I'm preaching all the time. Preach. I just ain't got time for anything else. And this 80-year-old woman came up to him after the service and says, why do you think you're better than Jesus? He said, what? Jesus took time off. Jesus didn't preach every day. Why do we think? We're supposed to bear fruit. That's up to the people to judge the fruit and to taste and see it. So this biblical passage describes a righteous person as a tree planted by the water, symbolizing stability and growth. However, Israel continued to drift from divine guidance, even after returning from captivity. The Hasmonean dynasty's rule over Judea was eventually replaced by the Roman Empire. they were ruled by the Hasmoneans before. The Maccabeans decided to rise up, and they fought the Romans, and then Rome just came in and took it all. Joe can probably fill you in more on the history, because I was like, I'd never really heard of the Hasmoneans, and neither had my program, because it kept wanting to change the word to Has-a-mo. I'm like, that's not what that's supposed to be. I didn't like the word vipers either. I'm like, I didn't write that. God's intention was for Israel to bring life, not divisiveness. Yes, when they first took over the land of Canaan, there was people they were supposed to drive out. But the rest of the world, they were supposed to reach out. They were supposed to be that light on a hill. They were supposed to be that tree that brings fruit. Exactly, the example. God's intention was for Israel to bring life, not divisiveness. So God began cutting down the old covenant. They didn't even realize it was happening. What do you mean? What did John just tell them? Even now, the axe. I never saw that. Even now, the axe is laid to the roots. Jesus Christ was the axe. He was cutting down the old covenant. The old covenant that grew out of law. Not mercy. The law has no mercy. I shared with that about my ticket with the camera, right? That camera represents law. There was no mercy. My bumper, just so you know, my bumper had just tripped the line. The front bumper, not the back bumper. And I was in a 55 zone over here, and it dropped to 35. But because my front bumper tripped it at 45, I got a ticket. Recently, I started looking for some new insurance. And I had to fill out a questionnaire. Do you have any tickets? The one question I thought, now that's interesting. It said, was this by a speed camera? Yes. Get down to the bottom of it. It says, this ticket will not be held against you. Then why did I get it? Because of legalism. A cop wouldn't have given me the ticket because he's seen I was slowing down. I'm not in the middle of town. I'm in the country still. I was between two fields. And now I think it's interesting, that it's now been passed in legislature in Ohio. Counties and townships cannot use cameras. You got to have a cop. Thank you. I get it. They do some things, but I don't want too many cameras around. What are you doing? You shouldn't be on camera. I don't want to be on camera. Jesus Christ was there on the earth right now, and what he was doing is he was interpreting the law. He was the one bringing forth the law in reality. He was changing what he was about to change the whole covenant. And John was warning them, your system is being cut down. And you're being replaced by a vine. A vine that will grow and reach out and keep moving. As the vine grew, let me back up. The true vine is exactly what mankind needed. We needed someone who could be the intermediary between us and law. Someone who could absorb from the earth and bring us life. That's what a vine does. There's one root, and it grows. And it keeps growing and growing and growing. A vine begins as a seed. I kept giving Pat all these seeds from a trumpet vine I've got. He couldn't get them to take for a while. I think you said you got them. When I trimmed that stinking thing, 50 popped up in the yard. It did not want to die. I wasn't killing it. I just wanted to trim it. But it kept producing life. So it begins as a seed. That seed is placed into the ground. Ground that has been prepared. You have to break it up. You have to open it up. That seed dies. And after the appropriate time, it springs forth in life. With proper amounts of water and sunshine, the vine will grow to climb its way up the arbor. I have people come to my house and say, I just love that tree. It's so unique. I give a little giggle and say, well, it's not a tree. It's a trumpet vine. That's how stinking big it is. But it's growing around a telephone pole. It had something just to hold it up. By the way, if you're wondering, well, the cross, that's what Jesus was hung up. No. He died on that. Jerusalem is where he sprung out of. Abraham is still what he branched out on. A promise from God. With proper amounts of water and sunshine, the vine will begin to climb its way up the arbor. In this case, he was crucified. He died. He was buried. He was planted. And resurrected, he sprung forth. And on the third day, the appropriate amount of time. If you plant a seed and you expect it to come up the next day, you're wrong. It's not. They've engineered seeds today that will not come up. You can put them in the ground and they've got a protective coating that if you put them in, it will hold off until the temperature is right and the ground conditions are right. And then it'll spring forth. And all that is right. So if you look at some of these farmers, like, why are they planting right now? It's not cold. It's not going to stay warm. It's not supposed to. That seed has now been engineered to hold off. And as a matter of fact, they have a guarantee that if it's, I forget what the percentage of the field does not come up, the company will pay to have for new seed. The farmer behind me has 123 acres behind me, and he's done it. It didn't come up right. Parts of it just never came up. They gave him the new seed. And if you don't understand what the price of seed, Dave's like, yeah. You're sitting there looking, well, I just don't know what. No, it's not cheap. That might be something to go into the rest of this message too. As the vine grew, it spread. Jesus told us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, that vine is around the world. Well, I'm sure there's people that haven't heard. Oh, I am too. But it's not for a lack of people going to that village. There may be some villages maybe in deepest, darkest Africa and whatever jungle in South America. Deep, deep, deep into the rainforest. But yet we're finding them. That means tells me people are getting there. So the reality is people are getting there. But the gospel has gone around the world. That vine is around the world completely. As the vine grows, it develops branches. Peter, Paul, John, Billy, Patrick, Monica. We are the branches. Every last one of us. Caleb and I aren't the same branch. We're in the same vine, but he's his own branch. And guess what? Just because he and Morgan are one, she's her own branch. Spiritually. They have the responsibility. Phil has the responsibility. Cheryl has the responsibility of developing that fruit through the Spirit. We develop a twig. Do you ever watch how things develop? You get this tiny little twig on that branch. It comes out off that trunk, and then that limb keeps growing and growing and growing. I am still totally amazed as I stand around and look at my house. I'm like, I've got to cut that entire limb off. That thing has grown 20 feet. Any branch I can touch with my hand comes off. I don't want them that low because I want nutrients and stuff to come around to it, and I don't want to hit my head when I'm walking or mowing. Nothing personal, but they're my trees. I'll trim them. I've already killed one by accident. Unfortunately, it's about this big around. Fruit? Is it going to produce fruit? Nope, not yet. We're the little twig that starts coming out, and then we get a little sprout. We're going to bear fruit. Nope, it's not how it works. You get that little twig that pops off there. And if you've grew up around these plants and stuff that produce fruit, you've paid attention to them. What's coming out of that first little twig? A leaf. A leaf is coming out of that. Because the leaf is vital to the life of the branch, to the life of the vine, to the life of the forthcoming fruit. The vine needs the leaves to bring in the nutrition from the sun. It's called photosynthesis, right? My science teachers. I had a whole new lesson on some of this stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, I know that word. The leaves are the things we need to do to survive as a believer. This is what the guy said. That is what triggered. I was like, whoa, dude, I've had that happen on a couple things here lately. And I'm like, okay, God. Leaves are the things we do. We need to commune with God. Prayer. That's a leaf. We need to read the Bible. It's a leaf. We need to fellowship. That's a leaf. Well, brother, I believe you can be saved and not go to church. Well, you aren't going to produce fruit worth diddly squat. Diddly squat. I about choked on an aspirin last night. Like, I said, now I know why I'm choking. Fellowship is vitally important with the people of God. I know it's not comfortable. I know it's kind of a pain in the butt. Sometimes you were sleeping so good on Sunday morning. Yeah, most of us are. But we still get up and we still do it. These things are imperative to our growth and ability to produce fruit. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of what? The word of God. Well, brother, I can read it and I can believe it. Well, I'm glad you can, but there's still parts you're missing. What did I say this morning? We came together in love. We stirred up faith. We stirred up the Spirit of God by coming together where two or three are gathered. How much more so when there's 50, 60 people who are honestly serving God? They're searching for God. It's imperative to your walk. If you feel like you got your butt handed to you last week, ask God why. Ask him why. Did you talk to me at all? Did you ask me? Did you spend time with me? However, when we begin to feel or allow ourselves to become prideful in these things, I read the Bible more than anybody. I pray more than anybody. I pray 3 hours a day. More power to you. I know the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. I get it. I think you're off base, but I fast. I give alms. I tithe. Those are all the things you should do. All our growth is now going to growth of the twig and the leaves. It's not to fruit. When pride enters in, we quit putting it towards the fruit. Because that fruit is in humility. That's how it grows. It doesn't grow because, well, you know, I do all this stuff. That's great. I looked at that apple tree before, and I'd walk around and think, well, that branch should have apples on it. Why? Because it had blooms on it. You have to prune off the branches that are sucking the life away from the ones that are producing. Well, that sounds harsh, Pastor. They're not my words. John 15, those are in red. That means they came from your heavenly Father. We think because we're doing these things, we are being productive. I heard somebody say, talk about tomato plants. You don't need all them leaves. He said they'll produce. No, they need some leaves. Don't go getting crazy on it. But he said all you're doing is wasting the growth that could be going to the tomatoes by producing all those leaves. I don't know. I've had good years and I've had bad years. My neighbor across the street, he called me and he said, Art, you want any tomatoes? Have at it, man. I went over there 4 or 5 times and came back with 20 to 30 tomatoes each time. Big, ripe ones. And I had to leave hundreds. I said, Ron, what did you do? He says, I don't know. But they really came on good. And they were good. They were delicious. But for us, God prunes off those branches that aren't going on, even on us. You know what? I'm going to use Phil. Phil, that's not good. I need to cut that off. What about when we're not producing? There's something else that they do when they're not producing. They'll also go prune that branch before they cut it. They prune that branch off so that maybe it starts another shoot. Because if you've ever noticed that when you produce fruit, particularly apples, peaches, even cherries, they're always attached to a leaf. It's always. You know, how many, tell you I'm a Gen Xer, how many of you remember that little apple, that plastic apple from Fisher-Price that made funny noises, stupid face on it? It's got a little bell or something in it. It had two leaves on it, didn't it? That's because sometimes you pull an apple and you pull the leaves with it because they're growing underneath it. We're not going to talk about the leaves today completely. Just mentioning them. Sure, we have the signs of life. We've got growth. Look at me. I'm a big branch. Look at all my leaves. And Jesus said, where's your fruit? Why aren't you producing anything yet? You are beyond the point you should be producing fruit. And if you're not producing fruit, here comes the pruners. And I'm going to tell you, it says, and they will be cut off and thrown into the fire. There's no question about what he's saying. If you're not producing fruit, you are cut off from God completely. The leaves are growth, and growth are vital to our lives. We cannot say that leaves are not necessary. There are people out there telling you, you don't need to study, you don't need to pray. Listen to me. I tell you, read your Bible, pray, spend that time. If you don't spend time with God and have some word with you in your heart, David was even the one that said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. He didn't have round-the-clock access to the scriptures yet. And yet he was able to hold on to what he could get. But the leaves are more than that. But too many leaves and no fruit is not a good situation. This is when the vine dresser comes and prunes us. He carefully picks which branches need trimmed back. Where to cut? That's huge. I've heard some people say, well, you just cut anywhere you want. The Amish philosophy is there's only 52 days a week you cannot cut. And they're all Sundays. FYI, that's stupid. You cut when it's too cold, you will kill that tree. You cut too late, you just cost yourself a harvest. You cut that branch at the wrong point, it's not going to produce. I have two peach trees. They come on and they look gorgeous. Man, all those pink blossoms, all the bees flying around them. And they're like, ooh, yeah, because I love peaches. I'm like, yeah, look at all the peaches I'm going to have. By the way, these trees weren't supposed to be over this tall, and I think they're about 13 feet tall now. I'm like, so don't believe it when they tell you they're dwarf. But I pruned them a couple years ago. Well, between the birds and the bugs, I didn't get any peaches because I only had about 7 that made it. I've later determined wrong zone for those peaches to grow. I think they belong down south. Perhaps you'll grow in a new direction. You're still the same branch, but maybe you'll shoot off. A good arborist knows when and where to trim to get the desired results. God knows just how to prune to get the growth he desires. Understand something. When God says that he is merciful, he is long-suffering, he means it. He's not just going to, well, I'm sick of telling them. I'm sick of telling them. I told them 3 times. God will keep telling you and telling you and telling you. By the way, God also knows your heart. That's when he cuts the tree. That's when he cuts that branch. But Lord, I don't want to be pruned. Look at me. I'm so healthy. Look at all the things I do. I do all this stuff. Isn't that enough for you? He said, no, I told you to produce fruit. From Genesis 1, be fruitful. Well, brother, you know he's meant to have children. Yeah, I know that. He also said multiply, so that's the children. Be fruitful. Produce something. People should look at your lives. There's going to be a lot of things that we're going to go over. They should see your good works and rejoice. Not see your good works and say, oh, I know that person and I know exactly why they're in it. That's why the Bible tells us not to blow our own trumpet. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. It's not saying that Monica and Michelle can't talk. It's saying they don't need to, Monica can't say, man, I'll tell you what, I just gave this person over here all this food. Yeah, that's probably something she needs to keep on her own. Because maybe that other person is trying to hold on to everything they got. And you telling everybody in the church that you had to give them food kind of shoots any self-respect they had left. But that's one of the things we like to do. Look what I did. Look at the row of chairs my family bought. Nobody can sit in them but my family. Well, the fact that this row is empty, what happened? They didn't like religion either. And that's why God is a relationship. That's why he cut the trees at their roots. I'll show you more things later about the fig tree because, well, there's a parable Jesus told about a fig tree that was cut down. Jesus did what to a fig tree? Cursed it at its roots. A fig tree, not a pomegranate, fig tree. Not an orange. They grow oranges over there. A fig tree. Again, it was all symbolic to Israel because he said, I'm the vine. And when I'm planted, I'm going to grow. And this word will go around the world. Because Israel had honestly been on the planet as a nation for how long and hadn't gone very far. But yet, in a matter of a few short years, 300, but by comparison to time, even the largest empire in the world at that time had accepted Christianity. And from then, I can't say that I'm always on board with how things got done, but it got around the world. And now it's up to us to produce the right fruit. So we're going to look at more of that over the next coming weeks. And I hope it helps you to grow and develop that fruit, because that's your job, to be fruitful. Very first command, be fruitful. Not be a fruit. Amen? Let's stand. I prayed this morning that this word would help you. I prayed that God would open your eyes and open your heart. I prayed that his word would change your life. His word doesn't condemn, but it brings us life. It shows us I need a change. There's so many things I've looked into, and God says you need to change. And when we quit, when we stop changing, it's because we think we've attained. And while I may not be the biggest branch on that vine, I'm not the littlest. And I have been pruned a lot. Because the Bible says, because sometimes the pruning is a little bit of a discipline. You're going the wrong way. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And I don't know about you, but that brings my heart such good. I love my children. I disciplined them. I love my grandchildren. I don't have to carry the brunt of the discipline, but I don't let them away with murder either. They gave Grandma a fit the other day. We had all three of them. The one we thought would be the hardest was the easiest because he loves Mama still. The other two, they go play, but they were fighting. We're like, Grandma hollered up because Grandpa, you know, kind of hard to holler, and she told him to stop. They stopped. 5 minutes later, they were doing it. She hollered again. They stopped. Grandma went out of the room. She went to our, went to the other side of the house. And man, they just really got into it. There was something they had never heard before. It was Grandpa's bark. For the next hour, you could hear crickets. They straightened up. Why? Because I don't want them fighting. They had their own toys. They just get into each other's way, and one thinks they want the other things, and that's not right. And sometimes God has to do that to us. Bark. That's all I had to do. I didn't have to go up and pound on them. Just a good bark. My boys know it. And it usually brought them right back around. I didn't have girls, so if I did, I'm sure that they would, if they were anything like their mother would have been, they would have probably been in tears a lot. Don't yell at me. So thank God I had boys. Because sometimes they got a lot. I toughened them up. Anyhow. But understand, if God's pruning you, it's for good. It's not because he hates you. It's because he loves you that much. All right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful that we are your children that you love. We are grateful that we are grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I know as each one of us has been walking our walk, Lord God, you're helping us grow. You're helping our study. You're helping our prayer. You're helping our commitment to you. Lord God, I thank you that as we continue to take these steps, we continue to move forward. We become stronger and stronger. Lord, I thank you that you're going to help each and every person here, every person that watched at home today, Lord God. I thank you that you're going to move in their lives mightily, victoriously. Father God, I thank you that you're opening the ground to produce. You're opening up that branch, the hard casing on that branch to produce a new life, to start to begin to produce that fruit. Father, I thank you that you're helping us, each one of us grow. Lord, and I ask now, Father, that you bless your people. Lord God, I pray your blessings upon them, shower them down just as the rain is showering us now. Father, I thank you that it will come in proportion, that it will come in right strength. In the name of Jesus, amen.